you hold up your Bibles and we'll make our proclamation this morning over the Word. We'll get right to it. Here it is. This is the Word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I know that many of you probably been watching the news relentlessly since last Tuesday. I have not, because I don't care. Because who sits in that big White House in Washington, D.C. is irrelevant to my life. I didn't say it didn't matter. I said it's irrelevant to my life. Because I know who sits on the throne of heaven. Amen? And we got to keep our perspective correct if we're going to be the men and women of God in this country. I want you to understand that who sits in the White House did not, will not, never has, never will catch guard God by surprise. He didn't go, dang, didn't see that happening. Wow. God knows everything. He knows he'll sit in the White House. But I want you to understand, Christian, church, we have a responsibility as believers to do certain things for those in elected positions. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 tell us, let everyone, say everyone.
Everyone.
Is that you?
Yep.
I think it is. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So I want you to kind of wrap your head around this. We have a responsibility to pray for and to honor a position of authority. I didn't say you had to agree with his politics. I said we have to honor the position. And as believers, I believe we need to be praying for our country now more than ever.
Yes.
We need to be praying for that man sitting in there to make decisions, hopefully, that will be good for us. Probably not. But we still need to pray. We're in a time, culturally, historically, where I believe that Christians, listen to me, Christian people, those here and those watching us online, we got to quit looking around. Oh, we're looking at this news station and that news station. And what does this newspaper say? And what did that one say? And who cares? We got to start looking up. And we got to keep our eyes fixed and focused on the throne of heaven. And we got to see, what is God telling us? What is God wanting to do in us and through us in this day and time? Because I believe it's big. And I believe it's bigger than any of us have ever thought or imagined. And we're not going to find it looking at the news. We're not going to find it looking around. We're not going to find it in culture. We're going to find it in a relationship, an intimate relationship with Jesus. There was a time when God delivered a group of people, a large group of people, out of bondage. The Israelites had been in bondage in Egypt for about 450 years. And God sends Moses, the deliverer, to Egypt. And he delivers them from their bondage. And he gets them out in the desert. And God wants to do something amazing. So God tells Moses, I want you to go. When you get to Mount Sinai, you tell the people to get ready. Here's the account. Exodus chapter 19. He said, you yourselves, this is what God said to Moses, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you fully obey me and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Listen, God was calling the children of Israel to Mount Sinai. And I believe today God is calling us to the mountain. Not the literal mountain, but the proverbial mountain. The mountain of his presence. The mountain of his manifest presence on the earth, and he wants to tell us something. He wants to do something in us and through us, but we're so busy looking around, and we're so busy preoccupied with what's happening in our world. Christians, we're missing it. Two things powerfully could have happened that day in the lives of the Israelites. One is, they could have run to the mountain to hear what God was saying. Or they could run away. And many of them ran away. Only one of the 2 million ran to the mountain, and the rest ran away in fear.
Right.
We can run or we can reject. My message is entitled today, Come to the Mountain. How many of you are ready to go to the mountain? In Exodus chapter 19, verse 10, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Listen, God's calling his people to a mountain again. You heard me say a couple of months back that I believe that we are on the precipice of what will be the greatest spiritual awakening in this world's history. I believe that we're going to see and experience people coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives more than we've ever seen in any country, in any revival, anywhere, at any time historically. We're going to see it, folks. I believe we are going to help. We, the people of God, are going to help usher it in. But we got to quit looking around. We got to start looking up, and we got to press in to the intimacy God is calling us to. I want you to know that common Christianity is no longer going to suffice. It's no longer going to be good enough. It's no longer going to be enough to just go to church and dress it up on the outside and get there so I can check a spiritual box and walk out feeling good about myself. God said the days of common Christianity are over. I want a relationship with my people. I want a close. The word is intimacy. I want intimacy with them. I want them to know me like I know them. I want them to understand me like I understand them. I want them to receive from me and be able to speak the words that I give them to the world around them. This world needs me like never before. And the people of God have to be the mouthpieces and the hands and feet of Jesus on the earth. You know common Christianity. The obligation. Well, it's Sunday. Gotta go to church. I'll feel good about myself if I do that. That's called status quo Christian living. I don't believe that Jesus left the beauty and majesty of heaven and came to earth to live as a human being and went to a cross to die a criminal's death and was put in a cave to be dead and raised himself after 3 days to resurrect and go back to heaven just so we could have common Christianity. God's calling us to something more, folks. We got to be ready to go to where he's calling us to go and to do what he's calling us to do. We can't just do it the way we've always done it. If you've been around New Beginnings for any length of time, I can't stand, I don't want to say the word hate because it's not a nice word, I can't stand the idea of status quo Christian living. And I don't believe that all that happened so that we could just live status quo. You know what I say about status quo? Maybe the rest of y'all get that in a minute. Status quo Christian living has what? Got to go, because we can't live there anymore. It's not enough. God's calling us to go to a mountain. In our culture, we have a choice. We can go to the mountain, or we can be just like everybody else. Back up, watch Jesus from afar. That's good. All right. But that's not what God wants for us. And my question to you this morning is, who's ready for something greater? Are you tired of just the same old Christian life? See, Jesus said the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I thought that'd get more of a rise out of you. saying to us this morning, do you want to know me like Moses knew me? Do you want to know me like the prophets of old knew me? Do you want to speak and miracles happen in front of you? Do you want to lay hands on the sick and they get up and walk? Do you want to lay hands on sick people and they're recovered? Do you want to speak to people and they come to know me in droves like Peter on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 people get saved because you open your mouth?
Amen.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. The mountain he's calling us to today is not like Mount Sinai. On Mount Sinai, it was the mountain of rules. It was the mountain of the old covenant. He's calling us today to a new mountain. It's not the literal mountain. It's the proverbial mountain. And it's the mountain he's calling us to. It's a place of relationship. And it's a place of future. And it's a place of hope. And it's a place of prosperity. And it's a place of plans. And it's a place of purpose. And God is saying, if you'll come there, I got all this waiting for you. But you can't get it just in common Christianity. Ready to run, would you just raise your hand? If we're going to run to the mountain, I believe we have to remember a few things. The first one is this, on your handout this morning, is we must get ready. He told the children of Israel in Exodus 19:10, God said to Moses, you go to the people and consecrate them. Today and tomorrow, you get them ready. And on the third day, I'm going to come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. The word consecrate in the Hebrew language is the word kadosh, and it means to be ceremonially or morally clean. In other words, to be set apart holy for use by God and for God. God is still looking for people that will separate themselves from the crowd and draw close to him. Listen, when I hear people say, they don't hear from God, I have to ask the question, have you gotten yourself ready? Oh, I don't experience God like you experience God, and I don't understand why. Are you ready? Have you prepared? Are you consecrated? Have you set yourself apart? Have you separated yourself from the world? Have you said, you know what? The world has all kinds of things that I enjoy, all kinds of things that are great, but I want to consecrate. I'm going to set myself apart for use by God and for God. I want to see him and know him and experience him like I never have before. But you can't do that with one foot in and one foot out. You got to get in or you got to get out. See, what happens is we get saved. We get our fire insurance policy. That's that ticket to heaven, you know, the one way. I got my ticket. I'm good. And then we go back to living our lives. We do what we want, how we want, when we want. Not what God wants. And I told you a few weeks ago that there's a path, according to Hebrews 12:1, there's a path marked out for us. And it ain't the one we have planned. It's the one he has planned. And we decide to walk his plans and his path, we get his blessing. So what if we consecrated ourselves, separated ourselves from all the noise around us, screaming at us, trying to get our attention, trying to get us distracted, and instead we continue to look to the mountain or run to the mountain and we quit looking around. You know how you get ready to do that? You wake up every day and you spend time with Jesus one-on-one. You spend time in prayer. You spend time worshiping. You spend time getting to know him. You spend time in his word. You spend time dealing with the plans and purposes he has for your life, the ones he begins to speak to you. You don't just reject them because they're, cool, well, that doesn't line up with my 5-year plan. That doesn't line up with my 10-year plan, Jesus. I don't want to do it my way. I don't want to do it your way. Your way doesn't seem as much fun to me. There's a path marked out for us. You know, there's a time every morning that I prepare myself for the day. I'm not saying that to you so you go, oh, look at the pastor, I need green and green. I'm saying that because, you know, I can't do this without that. I can't get revelation. I don't go to the Bible and God say, here's the word for you. Somebody asked me a couple months ago, how do you do this every Sunday? Where do you get all the messages from? I got a whole book full of messages. What are you talking about? But if you just open your spiritual eyes, God will take you there and show you everything you need to see. I prepare myself every day. Get up a little bit earlier than I need to. And I spend time in his word. I spend time praying. I spend time preparing. So that once I get out there, I'm not distracted by all this other stuff. Have you set time aside to hear him, to sit with him, to plan and prepare? Church, we got to get ready for what's next. The next thing you need to remember is this. God is looking for those that want an audience with him. One of the things I love about a relationship with Jesus, he doesn't force himself on any of us. He doesn't say, hey, look, before you go to bed tonight, set that clock 15 minutes earlier because me and you are going to spend time together. He woos me. He wants, hey, listen, why don't you get up a little early? We'll spend a little time together. And so it's not a demand. It's a, I love you and I want you to come with me. And so I want to do it because, listen, when somebody wants you, you want to be with them, right? Exodus 19, verse 17. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke. I want you to get this picture. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended on Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. And so look at the next line. So Moses went up. I love those words. So Moses went up. I don't ever want God to say to me, you know, I called you to come up, but you seem kind of busy that day. You seem kind of distracted. You were too busy listening to your emotions. You were too busy listening to your feelings. You were too busy listening to your pain, to your shame. You were dealing with regrets from your past. You were too busy dealing with all that earthly stuff to hear my voice. And so when I wanted to sit with you, when I wanted to talk to you, when I wanted to spend some time with you, you were too busy because you were distracted. I never want to hear that conversation. One of the things I love is he never forces himself. He only woos me to come and sit with him and listen for him and to spend time with him. So you know what? We got to make that time. We got to say, God, you're more important. You know, there's a scripture in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It says, Jesus is saying to the church, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. And he who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and eat with me. But I want you to get this visual of what's happening there. There's a door. And you're on the other side of it, and Jesus is knocking. I want to come in. I want to come sit with you. I want to hang out. I want to chat with you. I want to tell you all kind of cool stuff. But he's never gonna touch the doorknob. You know why? Because there's no knob on the outside. See, the knob's on the inside. And you're the only one that can open it. 15 minutes earlier in the morning, 30 minutes earlier in the morning, taking a different route to work so you have a few more minutes to pray and to seek God. You have to want it. And he desires it. And so if you just make the step, it says, when I make a step towards God, he makes a step toward me. You know, God wouldn't allow the rest of the children of Israel up on the mountain that day. I don't believe, because they weren't prepared. They didn't get ready. Moses got ready. And when God said, come, Moses is like, I'm running. You know what they did? We're going to go this way. And see, the problem is God wants people who want an audience with him. And you know what? If you had been in the crowd that day, you'd have seen all those people running in the other direction. You'd have been like, I better get to running. Because it looks like the crowd's headed that way. And you know what? Usually we think, if everybody's going that way, it must be the right way. And that dude's crazy. You know, dude, look at him running. That mountain shaking, full of smoke and fire, and he's running to the mountain because Moses knew what was on the mountain. The rest of those jokers had no idea, and they ran the wrong way. You know, this world's been running the wrong way for thousands of years, and we, the church, have to quit running the wrong way and start running to the mountain. The world out there is never going to run to the mountain till we run first. My question is, will you watch from far off and wonder what the heck those crazy holy rollers are doing? Or you want to get up in it? I remember a guy years ago came to our church. Right after we started. Called him the next day, wanted to know, you know, what you think about church? He goes, well, you know, y'all seem to get really excited during worship. I just don't come from that background, and I don't understand why y'all get so excited. I said, well, tell me about your relationship with Jesus. Oh, I know him. I've been in church my whole life. My mom and daddy took me to church when I was a little boy. Been in church. Well, I know who Jesus is. I said, the cross. Do you realize the magnitude of the cross? Do you realize what that cross represents? Do you have any idea that God left the majesty of heaven, came to earth, died on a cross for something he didn't do, went into a grave and rose from the dead so that he could have a relationship with you? I don't know about you. That kind of excites me. How many of you love football? Any football lovers in the house? Not pro. College and high school. My kid plays high school football. And when my son makes a tackle, I go, son, great tackle. Why, you knocked that kid's head. Awesome. I'm like, yeah! Dude, do it again! Because I'm excited. I go to Jesus. You did it! You did it! I'm excited! I can't help myself. Listen, they're never going to get it until you begin to display it. And God is looking for people that want an audience with him. And listen what I'm saying. If the audience that you get with Jesus is only on Sunday, you're going to live a sad Jesus existence. That audience needs to happen tomorrow morning. And the next morning, and the next morning. Until, you heard what Carla said a little while ago? She goes, I couldn't wait from last Sunday to this Sunday. That ain't no lie. But that's the way we are around here every day. And that's just not words. That's our attitude. It's the way, because we can't wait to come into the house of the Lord together. We can't wait to worship corporately with our church family. We can't wait till he shows up again, because he shows up every day and reminds us, I'm coming again. I'm going to do it even better this time. Yeah. We're looking around. We're worried about this and we're worried about that and worried. Jesus said to, knowing that we would be worried about all kinds of stuff we had no business worrying about. In Matthew 6:33, he said to the people, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things you're worrying about, I'll take care of all that. Right now, you just worry about me. You worry about focusing on me. Seek me first, and we'll take care of the rest, right? Say this with me. Say, I want an audience with the king. That's what he's looking for. People who want an audience with the king. Number three, we have to remember that the ones who want to hear his voice will hear his voice. Exodus 20, verse 18. I love this. This is what it says. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance, and said to Moses, speak to us for yourself, and we'll listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die. I appreciate the fact that you love me, and that you trust that I hear from God, and you come here. I value that, and I appreciate that. But I want you to understand, you can hear from God too. If you're just waiting on me to hear from God for you, you're going to be lonely. Now, I know there are a lot of religions, people that will tell you, oh, you can't hear from God yourself. You need me. That's how they keep you dependent. I don't want a dependent church. I want an independent church that knows who Jesus is, knows who they are in Christ, knows what they have. And when we come together with that attitude and with that, there's an anointing happening in the place. God is going to move and do things we've never seen or dreamed about before. I promise you, you can't be dependent on anybody to hear the voice of God. Anybody who wants to hear his voice will hear his voice. He's still speaking like he did thousands of years ago. You know how I know? Because the promise of God tells me. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For whoever, say whoever.
Whoever.
Oh, I say everyone, I'm sorry. Everyone who asks receives. Or whoever, whatever. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened for him. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give? give good gifts to those who ask him. Listen, one of the greatest gifts we have today as Christians is the voice of Almighty God speaking to us today. Listen, if you don't hear the voice of God, get yourself ready. Put yourself in a position to hear him and seek time with him every day. It won't be long. And you'll begin to speak and you'll begin to hear and things will begin to change in your life. Anybody in here want to hear the voice of God?
Yes.
Number four. Listen, God is still revealing his plans. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read 17 verses of scripture because it's important that you get the context. And God spoke all these words to the people. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Look at verse 6. But showing loving kindness to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath by keeping the day holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you or your son nor your daughter, your male or female servant, nor your animals or any foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother so that you may live a long life on the earth. For the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet. These 17 verses, known as the Ten Commandments, were the law. They're to be observed by all the people. And I know what some of you are thinking right now, but Pastor, we're not under the law. We're under grace. You're right, we're not. But you think those went away? God gave us the Ten Commandments so we could look in them like in a mirror to see just how much we need God. I want you to know, and none of us can look inside that mirror right there and say, oh, I'm perfect. I didn't mess up in any of those. Liar. Not true, right? We all mess up, and we all made mistakes. And he said, if you committed one, you committed them all. Ten Commandments. Besides the fact that they're a mirror to see our need for God, we can't get messed up in looking at the commandments for all those words and all the do's and the don'ts. We got to begin to see the intention. The intention behind the commandments. Here's the intention. Love God and love people. Now you think that's changed over these thousands of years? That's still the same. And if God were to come down and right now and to speak to you face to face, he'd say, you know what? I got two things for you. Love me. And love each other. They'll say, they'll know you're my disciples by the way you do what? Love one another, right? We got to learn, love God and love people. As a follower of Jesus, that plan still stands today. Listen, do you know that God's plans haven't changed? And they're not going to. But he's still speaking them. And he's still pouring them out upon the people who will listen to him. This is not a time, listen. This is not a time historically for us, the church, to be divided. This is a time for the church to be united. We must come together so that the world sees we're together. We're one. One mind, one heart, one God, right? And the problem is that the church can't even get together. We believe this and we believe that. And we think you do it this way and we think you do it that way. I don't care what you think, but you got to make sure Jesus is Lord, right? Let's don't get tripped up by the do's and don'ts. Let's just look into the intention of the heart behind the commandments. Love God. Love people. Yes, God is calling us to the mountain. He's calling us to this place of intimacy. He's calling us to the place where he wants to reveal his plans and his purposes for our lives. But along the way, we got to remember those few things. Listen, we got to get ready. You're not going to hear the plans and purposes of God living life like you want, doing it your way. But you gotta draw close and begin to consecrate, separate yourself so that you can see and hear and know and understand the heart of God. So that you will be ready when he comes. And that you wake up every day desiring an audience with the King of Kings. You know what I love about that? He wants an audience with you too. Thirdly, the ones that want to hear his voice will hear his voice. Anybody in sales in here? Any salesmen, sales girls? What happens when you call the big company? You're trying to get to the CEO, the head guy. Receptionist answers the phone, puts you through to his secretary. She rejects you. Sorry, he's busy, not interested. And he hangs up. And you're like, I gotta find another way in. Listen, forget CEO, president, this, that, and the other. How about King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and you have a direct line, it's called prayer. And he says, come on in anytime you want, and I'll speak with you. How about that? And he's still revealing his plans to us. I'm gonna ask you a question this morning as we kind of wrap things up. Is there anybody in here that's ready to run to the mountain?
Yes.
Would you stand with me? In first service, I said, you know, I wasn't sure how I was going to end this message. You know, and since COVID started, you know, we've tried to respect and keep people in their seats and, you know, let you just pray over you in your seats and all that kind of stuff. But there's something about coming to the mountain. And I believe today's the day we got to leave our seats and come to the mountain. And God's saying, will you come to the mountain? Listen, and if you're not comfortable coming to the mountain, you stay in your seat. But if you said, you know what, I want what you're talking about, I'm coming to the mountain. I want you to come to the altar today, and we're going to pray for you, and then we're going to leave this place together in just a minute. Come on, if you're ready to come, you come as God directs you. See, this is an indication of exactly what I was talking about, that common Christianity is no longer going to suffice for people who are hungry for God and people who want to know and experience God in a real, tangible way. This is indication of that right here. Would you just raise your hands to heaven? Heavenly Father, in the name that is above every name, at the name of Jesus, Lord, you said that everything in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth would bow and every tongue confess. And God, today, we confess you over our lives. We confess you over the situations and circumstances we face. God, we confess that we desire to have an intimate relationship with you. God, we don't want to just check a box, a religious box of saying, I went to church. I fulfilled my religious duty today. No, God, I want to know you like I've never known you before. I want to experience you like I've never experienced you before. God, I want the people around me to begin to say, what is going on in your life? There's something different about you. I don't understand it. What is it? And the only explanation is I'm drawing closer to Jesus because he's calling me to a deeper place. He's calling me to go up higher with him. And I can't stay where I am. And I can't do things the way I've done them ever before. Things have to be different. I'm consecrating myself. Oh, Father, I believe that's the heartbeat of the people of this place, as evidenced from the way they're standing here today. So Jesus, we receive from you today all that you have, God. A fresh touch of your spirit, God. A fresh touch from an anointing, God, that we've never had before. I pray, God, as you told the disciples, as we open our mouths, we don't even have to think about before what we're going to say. The words will come to us because we're relying and trusting on the Spirit of Almighty God. We love you so much, Jesus. Thank you for the men and women of New Beginnings Church. Bless them, Lord, as they go. God, I pray every person here receives what they need today from you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Let him keep you. Let his face shine down upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. God bless. Have a great day.